It's Wednesday of the second week of Lent, and it's the Feast of St. Joseph. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Our Roman station today is St. Cecilia in Trastevere. This is an ancient church. I have a personal connection to the Basilica. When I first moved to Rome, I lived nearby in a residence run by the rector of the Basilica, who would take me along each morning to serve Mass within the cloister of the Benedictine nuns. As it happened, Alexander Severus, the emperor, was not at all happy about the spread of Christianity, and he attacked well-known converts in the city, including Cecilia's future husband, Valerian, and his brothers. At this time, Pope Urban I was martyred. Cecilia was well known, and so they tried to kill her with a little more stealth. They locked her in a steam bath for a few days, tried suffocation. Eventually, they severed her head from her neck, at least partially. She forgave her killers, and she died. At first, her body was put in the catacombs of St. Callistus, but it was transferred here to where her church is now built. It was in the ruins of the baths where she was martyred. A basilica was built here by Paschal I in the 8th century. You will remember Paschal from the mosaics in the station church Santa Maria Domnica last Sunday. The mosaics here show Christ on a blue background surrounded by saints, including Paschal with his little blue square nimbus, indicating that he was alive when the mosaic was made. The glory of the basilica is the baldachin, which dates to 1283. It was made by Arnolfo di Cambio. And just before the Jubilee of 1600, Cecilia's tomb was rediscovered and solemnly reopened, and they found her preserved body wearing bloodied robes. A sculpture was made to portray the moment, which you can see beneath the church's main altar. Cecilia lies on her side, and you can see her partially severed neck displayed with her head twisted backward, away from the viewer. There were many additions to the church in the Middle Ages, and then it was entirely baroqued in the Baroque period in the 1700s. In the convent, there's a fresco by Pietro Cavallini from 1293 of the Last Judgment. This convent is held by the Benedictine sisters, who traditionally take care of the lambs, which are blessed on St. Agnes Day, and which provide wool for the pallia, given by the Pope to archbishops on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. From Meditations for Each Day by Antonio Cardinal Bacci. If it is true that the importance of his God-given role upon earth is the measure of a saint's greatness, then with the exception of Mary, none is greater than Saint Joseph. He was chosen by God as the head of the Holy Family, as the most chaste spouse of the Mother of God, and the foster father of Jesus Christ. The Word incarnate, the Lord, the King of heaven and earth, was obedient to him, as was the Blessed Virgin, the holiest of creatures. He lived for 30 years in the company of Mary and was the chaste guardian of her virginity and divine motherhood. He had the privilege of clasping the holy infant to his breast and of providing by his labor for the needs of him whose omnipotence causes the corn to sprout and brings forth the many fruits of the soil. In this regard, Saint Joseph is greater than any of the angels, for none of them was ever entrusted with such a sublime mission. For this reason, we should love him in the same way as he loved his most chaste spouse, Mary, and his foster child, Jesus. Knowing that he will certainly protect us, we should entrust all our cares and needs to him. The Collect for Mass in the Vetus Ordo. Let us pray. May the merits of your most holy mother's spouse help us, we beseech you, O Lord, that through his intercession we may receive what we cannot obtain by our own efforts. Oremus, Sanctissime Genetricis tue sponsi quesumus Domine, meritis adjuvemur, ut quod possibilitas nostra non obtinet, eius nobis intercessione donetur, qui vivis et regnas cum Deo Patre, in unitate Spiritus Sancti, Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen.